It is time for another journey deep into the lining of the magical talking hat. Hat wranglers Tony and William reach into the yawning chasm that is the hat and pull forth the questions you have posed. Will they tire of your question quickly? Is your name Azhatalin? Then perhaps they will, but then perhaps not. But that will remain a mystery until we venture into the magical talking hat.
All right, I'm all out of white pieces, so must be done.
That is a joke from what I believe is one of the very first episodes of Mystery Science Theater 3000 back when it was on public access cable. Hello. Welcome to the Magical Talking Hat Podcast, the only podcast out there dedicated to all things John Tesh.
All things.
All things. John Tesh clothing, John Tesh food processors,
hair care products,
John Tesh automobiles,
tennis shoes,
John Tesh dinosaurs,
place settings, boy,
John Tesh liver sausage,
place settings, really, just they fly off the shelves.
Absolutely, literally,
yeah,
they have wings.
Nope.
Oh, John Tesh feminine hygiene products. Anyway, I'm Tony.
And I'm William.
And this is episode. Welcome to episode.
Yep.
I feel like that's the name of a outlying frontier town in a post-apocalypse
episode.
We call this episode. That would be perfect if it was one of those like shows where like they travel from place to place. So they're only there for one episode, and that place is called episode, and then they move on. And then every town afterward is called next episode. And one town is called series finale.
Well, the first town could be called pilot. So.
Yes, the first town is called pilot. And there's one town called season finale, and they have to go back there every year, once a year. Or a festival. Of sweeps. That town is full of drunken bar fights and nudity all the time. For those of you just joining us, I don't care. But let me give you the rundown. There is a hat. It is magical in that. Does that sound like the start of a hymn? There is a hat.
Oh, could, I guess, yeah.
Or there is a hat in Spanish Harlem. Wait, no.
There's a hat in Gilead.
The hat is alive. With his. Anyway, there's a hat. It's magical in that it has its own email address. That sounds stupider every time I say it. TheMagicalTalkingHat@gmail.com is the email address. People. I don't know what people, but people, write into that email address, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com, with little notes, comments, questions, topics, that kind of thing. The hat, all on its own, magically transmogrifies those emails into little note cards with the information written on them to manifest physically within the hat. Most of the time, there's a couple guys. Look similar to us, more clean shaven. who draw those note cards out at random, read them on the air. What the hell is this?
I don't know.
I think evil producer is listening to something. Anyway, read them on the air, talk about it for about an hour or so, and that's the show. But sometimes they neglect their duties, die. I don't even know. Anyway, sometimes we get stuck with it. We're evil. Different universe, goatees, so we're here.
Yep.
And that's what we got going on. Okay, how much time was that?
I don't know. Were you trying to stretch it out?
Kind of.
Oh, well, no, I don't think it was very long.
I don't think so either. All right. Maybe the evil producer is watching something interesting. We just put the mic near her TV. That could be it. When I was a kid, I may have talked about this before, I once recorded on audio cassette an entire episode of Thundercats.
Yeah, I think you have talked about that before.
I still find that fascinating. It was weird. It was art, almost. I didn't realize that, but I listened to it many times. And it's very weird. And the weird, like, atmospheric sound effects that you aren't even aware of when you're watching it.
Mm-hmm.
That is so weird.
Mm-hmm.
I need to do that again.
Yep. Yeah, if you close your eyes or if you turn up a television and you just sit in another room and listen, you catch all the little things that you're not going to notice watching it.
Yeah. It is weird. So, how was your period of time?
Oh, it was, you know, like usual.
Evil?
Yep, evil, like usual. What about you?
Evil.
Yep.
The same.
Yep, things don't change much around here.
Except get worse.
They get worse.
Intentionally. Yeah, what we're going for.
I guess they don't understand over there that. I suppose in their way of thinking, things get better. Yeah. I guess.
Now we just sound like Bizarro Superman. Hello. I will not see you yesterday. Bizarro Superman never made a goddamn bit of sense.
No, right, never been a fan of Bizarro. But Bizarro is very popular.
Bizarro, I love you. Bizarro, I love you.
Sorry, that was a really weird episode of C-Lab 2021. So, hat?
Yep. Let's do it.
Bizarro hat?
It seems like the sooner we start, the sooner
it's done. Is Bizarro Superman basically Soviet Russia?
I don't...
On Bizarro World, Superman saves you. Wait, no.
Coffee drinker.
All right.
How old would you be if you didn't know your age?
Well, not only does that question make no sense, but I feel like Agenhelen once asked this question.
I feel like we've been asked this question before, too. And I remember at the time the answer was, well, either you're a very young person because you don't know the concept of your age, or you're a very old person who's kind of lost their senses and therefore doesn't know
how. Or you're in a persistent vegetative state.
Right, but this is looking for a condition related to your actual age that would make you not remember your age, is how I read it. How old would you be if you didn't know your age? You could be...
Is this like a movie quote we're not aware
of? I think two-year-olds pretty much know their age.
Yeah, no, I distinctly know I knew my age at two because my best friend was 2 years older than me.
Mm-hmm.
And I recall a time when he was bragging to me that he was four by saying, I'm four. And I did not understand that he was bragging. And I thought this was just declarative. So in the same snotty bragging tone, I said, I'm two.
You remember that, huh?
That is one of those weird things. I can't tell you anything else about the experience. I can't tell you what led up to him saying that. I can't tell you what he said afterward. I have just this little vision.
Huh.
I get a few things like that. I remember...
How could we have gotten this question more than once?
I remember distinct times going to the bathroom as a kid. Not like the whole experience, but like I have a memory of being a little kid. I'm going to guess I was somewhere between like 3 and 5. And going to the toilet to go to the bathroom. And I remember it partially because I was going to stand up to pee and I didn't generally do that. And I don't remember like how it went, so to speak. But I remember the act of doing it. And it was in our downstairs bathroom. I get just weird little bits like that.
Interesting. But you have that impression too that we've heard this question
before. That and Agenhelen asked it.
And so you're thinking this is in reference to something. Some other thing.
I don't know.
That you, neither you or I know.
People like to throw quotes at
us. It's not a big deal that I don't know, but I'm surprised you don't know it.
Yeah.
If two people have put it in a question because they think it's clever, and that maybe they also think we're going to understand what the reference is.
Possibly. They thought wrong.
But you don't know what it is, huh?
No.
How old would you be?
Yeah, it makes no sense, people.
Or maybe they're just... Maybe it's
you
a kind of...
pick an age? What age would you be, maybe?
Or how old do you feel?
Yeah.
Like... That seems like an odd way to ask that question, but...
How long have you felt like a grown-up?
That's a hard question.
I'm pretty sure for me it's only been... sometime after age 30, which seems late.
Well,
I'm still coming to the terms of the fact that I don't even count as a young adult anymore. In my head, I'm still the young... Like, I'm slowly wrapping my brain around the fact that stuff that's geared to the young people is not geared to me anymore.
Well, see, but remember, there's never been a time in my life where I thought something was geared to me. I mean...
And you probably felt like an adult since you were two.
I've wanted to be an adult for as long as I can remember. When I turned 40, it was the first time in my life I'd turned an age and actually felt something about it. And for me, it was a feeling of, okay, finally, this is how old I should be.
Oh, geez.
This is, yes, 40. Thank you.
Sadly, that makes way too much sense.
I mean, you know... I've been waiting for this day since I was, I don't know, 13 years old, and I first realized that this is going to be a long time in coming.
So apparently, if you didn't know how old you were, you'd be 40.
Maybe that's the whole problem here. Maybe this is a thing that people ask, and that's what they mean. Maybe this is a thing people say.
If that's what we're going with, I would probably be 30. I don't know. I feel like anything... I have such disdain for 20-somethings, though. They're just idiots.
I think I would be in...
Younger than that, forget
I think
about
I would
it,
be in my 40s. If you asked me this question when I was 16, I probably would have said 40 or in my 40s. But I don't know if you ask me this question, you know, 15 years from now, if I'll say in my 40s, because I have a feeling I'm going to be perfectly happy being 50 and 16.
We brought your 15 years older self here, and here they are now!
But yeah,
been awesome,
you know, there was a time where my cohort was the one that everyone seemed to be making commercials and movies for, but they didn't relate to me. I wasn't interested in them.
Yeah, that's because you were the only one amongst your cohort referring to it as cohort.
Well, that's the proper word for it.
I don't deny that.
What else are you going to call it?
Did you ever say verily to your elementary school friends?
No.
Are you sure?
Yep.
Did you want to?
No.
How about zounds?
Jinkies? Zoinks? Jinkies.
No, you're old enough. That was probably the slang at the time.
30, huh? Why is that?
I feel like, again, I don't...
Because that's when you felt like you were an adult? Or...
Well, no, because I have such disdain for younger than that at this point. Mm. Yeah, 35 is about the time when I started looking at death. I don't like that so much. 30 to 35 was an age where I'm like, I am grown up, but I don't really have to worry about that yet. You know, I like that.
I probably didn't feel like I was an adult until I was 40. But but not in the sense of, oh, before I'm 40, I'm doing all this stuff that I still did when I was 20. It's not like that. It's more like, in my mind, psychologically, I felt like I wouldn't be grown up until I was 40.
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter that before I was 40, I was, you know, I'd been married once already and divorced, and I'd, you know, helped raise some kids and stuff. I mean, I was obviously doing some adult things, but I just, for my whole life, sort of had it in my head that I wouldn't really be an adult until I was 40. But a lot of people, they don't feel like an adult until there comes a point in their life where they notice they're not doing the same things they did when they were a teenager or in their 20s.
See, and that actually is part of what makes it hard. Not having any kids and being a lot of the shit I do, my younger self would totally have been doing also. I mean, some of it's different. I play more video games, and they didn't have as cool of video games back then and stuff. But, like, yeah, and, you know, the internet wasn't there. But in general, I do a lot of the things I do are things my younger self would have done. Yeah, so in some ways, I've never grown up in that sense. But then a lot of the things my younger self did, I now realize was stupid, and I wouldn't be caught dead doing that.
Yeah.
But I'm pretty immature guy. So, you know,
the difference between the things I would do and wouldn't do, I mean, it really hasn't changed much.
I feel like
for my life,
since you were a baby, there's only like 5 things you'd do.
Probably. So. Probably.
And none of them are sleep.
Yeah, maybe this is a thing. We just don't know about it, question.
If this is a thing and we don't know about it, tell us about it at the blog, themagicaltalkinghat.com. Don't write the hat and tell us, because we draw them out at random. That'll be weird. We'll forget. Just go to the blog, themagicaltalkinghat.com. Tell us about it there.
You know, I'm usually confused by questions like this, but you're usually not. Like, you almost always know.
I know.
Oh, this is what they mean. Don't let its odd wording fool you. Or it's not odd wording at all. It's just odd to me because I'm a dork.
This is fucked up. These people are...
Okay, so it's not just me this time.
Not for once.
Not for once.
All right, I've drawn another thing out here. This one appears to be anonymous. It has like 4 questions. Cheating. What are your dreams like? Like watching a movie? Playing a video game? Can you sometimes control them?
I could talk a lot about this, but why don't you go ahead?
I think you have. As I get older, I remember my dreams a lot less. I think my dreams are either an actual first-person thing or kind of like a movie. The big thing that I notice about my dreams is that I frequently have stand-in people, places, and things rather than actual ones. So, for example, I would have a lot of dreams set in high school or set in college, and the location doesn't look anything like my high school.
Right, me too.
But in my head, it is my high school.
That's right. Yep.
Or...
It's happened to me too.
I'll have a dream involving my significant other, and or my best friend or something, and it's a person that in the real world I don't recognize at all.
Yeah, that's right. That's happened to me too.
That is common for me. That is most of the time, I would say. I occasionally can control my dreams. Frequently, once I'm aware I'm dreaming, I will wake up pretty quickly. But sometimes I can sort of get lucid with it and control it. That has backfired on me. This gets a little bit weird, but I have had times, how do I put this, where I have become aware that a dream was a dream, and so I have attempted to turn it in directions that would not strictly have been socially acceptable.
Okay.
Because it's a fantasy, you know, at that point. Sure. I do whatever I feel like. But then, one time, I had a dream in which I did that, and then the dream basically went that I woke up, or like, that I wasn't asleep, and I got caught or something.
Oh.
And ever since then, like, when I get in a lucid dream, I'm scared. Because, yeah, I did something, something transgressive in a dream, and then in the dream, it turned out I wasn't dreaming, and everybody was like, what the hell is wrong with you? And I had no answer, because you can't say, I thought I was dreaming. Like, that's not an argument. The police are not going to buy that. And so ever since then, like, I'm very nervous. And I mean, and that was a dream, too. It didn't really happen, of course, but I get in trouble for things I do in the producer's dreams. A lot. at the point now, I don't even, like, it's not even a thing, I just apologize. Like, I'm sorry, honey, I didn't mean to do that in your dream.
I, in my dreams, I'm pretty much, I'm, it's, I think it's happened where I'm sort of watching things go by from a third perspective or something, but usually I'm in it, like, you know, I'm seeing it through my own eyes.
Uh-huh.
But it's not always me.
Ooh. I don't think I have that.
Yeah. Well, I say it's not always me. What I mean is it's not always this me. Like,
yeah.
I mean, there was one time where, you know, I'm walking around in the dream and everything's just going like dreams usually go. I'm at some kind of gathering or some kind of party, maybe. I don't know. And I pass a mirror and I look at myself. And I'm a woman.
Ooh.
Like,
and
not...
You said, oh boy, and then the end credits are in.
Not... dressed as a woman. I mean, I literally was a woman.
Yeah.
And that.
And were you surprised?
In
the dream, were you like, yeah, who?
No, that's the thing that made me aware that I was dreaming, and then I woke up. Because, like you, I often will wake up as soon as I realize I'm dreaming. And because, for some reason, I remembered it. Because another thing is, I don't typically remember my dreams very well. I'll feel something. Like, I could tell it was a nightmare because I feel dread or I feel horrible.
I can get split seconds, kind of like what I was talking about with my old memories as a kid. I get flashes. I'm like, I remember this moment.
Yeah. But, in fact, in the healthiest times of my life, when I'm getting, you know, when I'm the most happy and I'm getting, you know, the best diet and I'm getting the most sleep, I don't remember dreaming at all. I mean, I must have dreamed, but I don't remember it.
Yeah, yeah.
Well,
that remembering dreams is frequently key to how, what point you wake up. And that's why a dream diary is a thing, because frequently, and I've really experienced this, I wake up, I remember a ton of stuff, and within 10 seconds,
it's gone, yeah.
Disappearing.
As far as controlling dreams, I used to do the whole lucid dreaming thing, and I... But I got out of practice, and now I cannot seem to get a hold of them. I mean, if I'm... When I'm suffering from a bout of insomnia, it doesn't mean... It doesn't always mean I'm not sleeping. It just means I'm only getting into that lucid area.
Oh, yeah.
And then a dream will start, and since I'm still only in that lucid period, I know that it's a dream, but I don't... It's like I can't do anything about it.
Mm.
It's just going to do what it does, and it's almost always bad.
Yeah.
Like, as a matter of fact, last night, I had one of the most bizarre nights I've ever had with this kind of thing. One of the things that happened was, I'm sure you've noticed that my voice sounds a little odd because I've had a cold. Well, and a little bit of a sore throat. Well, last night, I had a hard time sleeping, as you often do when you have a cold. And I had this dream that something, some object of some kind, the dream was I was sleeping, but my mouth was a little bit open. And that somehow some object had dropped onto my mouth.
One of the 8 spiders.
Yeah. Well, as a reflex, I suppose, to keep this thing, whatever it was, out, I closed my mouth, but it made the thing shatter into pieces and fall into my mouth, and it felt like little bits of plastic or glass went into my mouth. And also, by some odd reflex, I swallowed it, all those little flecks. And at just the right moment, somehow, I woke up from this dream, and my throat felt really, really sore. And so I, you know, psychologically, I was kind of in a place where I was actually sort of wondering, did this really happen just now? Did something fall from the ceiling, or what happened?
And there's supposedly, according to science, when you're truly in REM sleep, your body is paralytic.
Yeah.
But I've got personal counter experience.
Hmm.
weird things. The one that's very common is if I'm crying in a dream, I frequently will wake up with my face contorted as though sobbing.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I once had a dream that involved me kissing someone and, like, deep kissing them, and I was awakened because I found I was pushing my own tongue out of my mouth into the cold air, and that woke me up.
Huh.
So I don't know if it was in a liminal state or what. But, yeah, I get a lot. Well, and, of course, being ill does so many things.
Yeah.
I was very ill and saw Clockwork Orange for the first time and then took a nap afterwards, and holy shit, that was a bad plan.
I've just had a lot of bad dreams lately. It's not been a good... Last couple of years, actually, haven't really been good for me in dreams.
Mm-hmm. So, I may have talked about this on the show before. They say, you know, that's the big myth. You don't die in dreams because you'll die in real life or whatever. I have totally disproven that. I have killed myself in a dream.
Really?
Yes.
And you didn't wake up? Or?
Eventually, but way too late. I had a dream. It must have been in college. Because I was living in that apartment just outside college, and I was still with the same girlfriend. We broke up before college was done, so it must have been. And I don't remember any of it except the end where I put a revolver pistol to my temple and pulled the trigger. And what happened was I pulled the trigger. I didn't feel anything, but immediately within the dream, my vision went black, and then what seemed like a long time later, my hearing in the dream started to go and eventually fade out, and then my sensation of, like, physical sensation of, like, touch went away, and then there was just nothing, and then very shortly after that, I woke up, and I was so freaked out that I woke up my girlfriend and, like, talk to her and stuff.
Wow.
It was, yeah, and I was like, that's not how that's supposed to work. You're supposed to wake up when that, like, yeah. No. I basically, I mean, and I'm sure it's terribly inaccurate, but I won't know till I know. But I dreamed through dying. Like,
wow. That was,
and, yeah.
That's crazy.
It was really bad. Oh! I have weird issues with locomotion in dreams.
What do you mean?
The classic one, of course, is you're trying to run away from something and you can't.
Mm-hmm.
And everything's just very sluggish. I can't seem to move forward. But that translates, and again, this makes me think it's because my body's actually trying to do whatever it is. Because there'll be things where, like, I just need to reach out and I can't, or... I guess it's not just locomotion, because the other one is I'm trying to talk, and I'm trying to speak loudly, and it just sort of is coming out like this. And frequently I wake up finding myself sort of trying to hiss words.
Yeah.
Because I'm trying to say something loudly. But the weird other side to this is something that comes up very often in my dreams, to the degree that in a lot of dreams nowadays, it's just an assumed thing on my part that this works, and it does. I can... sort of jump fly. Like, I do this thing where I'm taking, like, big bounding steps. Like, have you ever been in a pool? You probably haven't. But you're in a pool and you sort of do that where you can just sort of jump.
Oh, yeah, I've been in a pool,
and
sure.
Go like that. It's like that, but really extreme. Like dozens of feet in the air. And that if I do it just right, I can, like, keep it going for a while and sort of stay in the air. And it's really cool. I always love that feeling.
Yeah, that's usually how flying dreams work for me, too. It's
How Superman originally went.
Yeah. Well, like, for me, like, I can jump and just sort of hold it for a while.
Sort of glide, but with no actual gliding
apparatus. And then, it's like you said, you just sort of bounce a little while. Yeah. And then after a while, you can sort of... keep it going and sort of soar that way.
I sort of, and it quickly seems to be sort of a concentration thing. Like, if I focus long enough, I can keep it.
Yep.
And it's always really cool. I really like, I don't know why, but I really, have a lot of euphoria attached to that experience, regardless of the context in the dream. And sometimes it's a bad context, sometimes it's good.
No, I've never heard anyone describe it in that way before, because that's the way it always is for me. I mean, people talk about flying dreams, and they never talk about what their personal experiences of it. So you don't know if they've got wings or if they're like Superman. But for me, it's very specifically exactly what you
described.
Well, when
you see it like in movies and stuff, a flying dream is just flying. Like
Superman.
That is very interesting that you have. That must be a thing then.
Well, like, maybe it is. The way I've tried to conceptualize it is it's almost like somehow you are altering like your density or something.
Yeah,
in a way.
Yeah, and it always
just make yourself lighter.
It in the dream, it always feels very natural.
Yep, yep.
Like of course,
yeah,
that's how
yep,
it works.
That's right.
To the degree that I think every once in a while I have woken up and been like, could I
really do that?
Yeah. I feel like that's a thing I could
yeah,
do.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That is very cool that you are, okay.
Yeah, it's
that,
exactly
that's
the same.
Probably a thing then.
That should, probably is, but I've never heard anyone else besides myself and you describe it like that.
And that's always the opposite end of the other one, which is unfortunately more common, the one where I basically can't move at all, hardly, or only with great effort.
I've a lot of my dreams involve, I'll still have dreams about. I just realized that there was a class that I was signed up for in school that I forgot to even go to, and now I'm gonna have to go and take a test that I've not even been into class for. That kind of thing. I still get those.
I'm pleased now. I don't get work stress dreams anymore. For a long time, during and after. Do you remember at Applied, back when TAM was largely DOS-based? When I got there, it wasn't anymore so much, but the utilities still were.
Mm-hmm.
So you go into the utilities and you type UT, and then you'd have numbers to get to the one you want. And so we all had to memorize. Like, oh, you need to go to fixes as UT312. And that's how you go through the menus. I used to have a dream that something was wrong, and there was a utility that would fix it, and I just needed to remember what number. I was like, UT, what? Like, and I couldn't remember. That was a very common stress dream that lasted longer than the job did. And then, of course, I have the classic one that I've talked about before. Every time since I was fired from the newspaper, every time I start a new job, which there's now been two or three, the night before I'm supposed to start, I have a dream that I started a new job, and the guy who fired me somehow gets involved and gets me fired for the job, sometimes before I've actually started.
Wow.
Like, he's friends with the new person or whatever. And it's never the job I'm about to start. Like, before I did what turned out to be the telemarketing job, I believe the dream I was working at some weird restaurant/laundromat or something, and I went there, and it turned out he was friends with the owner, and as soon as he saw me, he's like, oh no, and he told the owner, and the owner was like, no, you can't work here. Yeah, that sticks with me.
That is so interesting.
Yeah. That's so weird about the flying thing. That's very cool.
Yeah.
Tell us about your dreams, because maybe you guys have the same experience. Go to themagicaltalkinghat.com. And tell us. We'll all figure it out together.
But some of yours are like watching a movie or playing a game. Like, you're not in it. You're, like, watching things happen.
Well, there's always me. But here's the thing. I feel like, because I remember what I look like in some of them, so sometimes I must see myself. I guess most of them are probably first person. I don't know. I feel like, actually... studies back me up on this. I feel like a lot of dream stuff for me is me retroactively remember. Like, I think there's stuff that I wake up and the bits I do remember, like, my brain has to sort of organize them in a way.
Fill some stuff in. Sure.
Yeah, and it's like, that's probably not what actually happened.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know? And to a degree, like the thing you were talking about with the biting something and then swallowing it and it hurts your throat.
Mm-hmm.
Probably a little trick of your mind where your throat's sore, and so then it...
Yeah, right.
Potentially to the degree that it didn't even happen necessarily in the order that you think it did.
That's right. That's right.
Which, you know, freaks me the hell out.
Or, I mean, and who knows when you're experiencing a dream, how you could even define how you are quote, actually experiencing it. Like you just said, you could, when you're dreaming, you could be, there could be like six or seven things all going on at once. But when you wake up, you know, it kind of collapses into this one thing.
Yeah.
And like you said, you fill in a few things because there's some stuff that you immediately don't remember. And before you know it, the story you're telling about the dream, if somehow they could have had some kind of a machine hooked up to your head to show people what was really, you were really visualizing, it would actually be quite different.
Yeah. And to paraphrase Neil Gaiman, in general, dreams are not story shaped. And so then you have to make it into a coherent narrative of some sort.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, so they had a spin-off series in Vertigo of The Dreaming that was a comic series that took place in The Dreaming off of Sandman and had some of the bit characters involved. And I read some issues of it, including one where one of the characters basically got to run their own dream. And so she was going to direct a dream, and it was going to be really exciting. But then, like, things went wrong, and basically it ended up where the dreamer was about to wake up, and they hadn't even done it yet. And so then they threw together something, and they're like, no, we have this all the time. And basically they threw together a bunch of random imagery at the last second, and it's an explanation for why you have those dreams. It was like, I remember this and this, but it's all fuzzy now. They had a few things like that where they're like, this... here's the reason behind why you have dreams like that. That was kind of funny. Including a weird guy who's at a diner where there's a waitress, but it's all in The Dreaming. And he's talking about how he has an in with the studios and he can get her a gig in some serious dreams. And then, but then the other shoe drops in. But of course it's the erotic dream. I think she's like, I don't know about that. It's like, well, you got to get in the business somehow.
Right, right.
And I was like, oh my god, that's weird to think about. People treating actual dreams like Hollywood. So thanks, Anonymous. That was interesting. We learned something very special about ourselves.
We have time for another one?
Oh yeah, totally. Alright, dude, is it your turn?
I think so. I think you drew the dream one.
This episode is dragging on. It's like a dream.
Do you like dreaming? I mean...
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
I think it's cool.
I don't...
And I like...
I like to analyze my dreams. I don't, like, read books on it or anything, but there's just a lot of times where I'm like, I think I know where that's coming from.
Yeah.
And, honestly, I find it cathartic, because that's sort of the point.
Yeah.
Dreams are supposedly, basically, your brain processing the shit that it either had not the time or the resources to process during your waking hours.
Sure.
And so there are times where I'm like, that's clearly about that. And I feel better about that now that I've gone through that journey. Yeah.
Cool. This is from Dave of Id.
Dave of Id.
What 1980s Saturday morning cartoon show would someone find when they traveled through the dimensional gateway that is the magical talking hat?
Wow.
Well,
objection,
puppets.
Leading the witness.
HR puppet stuff.
Well, or...
That's not a cartoon show, though.
But, yeah, in general, I feel like Sid and Marty Krofft shows are pretty...
And that was the 70s, wasn't it? Or...
Yeah, it was.
Sorry, Dave, I screwed it up already.
Do you remember a cartoon show called Kid Video?
Not really, but I...
I adored that show so much. And it was such an 80s show. It was basically MTV the cartoon.
Maybe I'm not very good at coming up with 80s cartoons because, you know, in the 80s I was probably not watching cartoons that much.
I was.
And Saturday morning, I mean, what was on Saturday morning in the 80s?
All the cartoons. That's when you had cartoons.
No, I know, but what were they?
The Dungeons and Dragons cartoon was the... about 6 of the 12 variants of Scooby-Doo they've ever had.
Were the Smurfs still going on?
I think Smurfs. In 1980, I was 3. So, generally, if I remember watching it, it probably was still on in the 80s.
Okay.
So, Smurfs was there.
But, like... the big cartoons of the 80s weren't on in Saturday morning. Like, G.I. Joe didn't have a Saturday morning cartoon.
Sometimes I think they did.
The Transformers?
Again, sometimes I think. In general, those were the after-school cartoons.
That's right.
Time slot. Well, nowadays there just is no such thing. You just have cartoon channels.
Right, but...
Which is weird.
But the Saturday morning...
Back in the day, it was either at 4:30 on weekdays, or it was in the morning on Saturday. And it was very confusing for Sunday, because they weren't on Sunday. So as a kid, because we didn't have cable, I would be up on Sunday morning. I watched a lot of televised church shows. The dude with the Crystal Cathedral, who kind of sounded like a more religious Garrison Keillor.
Shuler. Was that his last name, Shuler?
I don't remember. I saw him a lot. And I was not a believer. I think I was a little kid who couldn't comprehend not having the TV on. And then eventually, of course, it turned into either Little Rascals or Spaghetti Western on ABC. It always became that eventually.
But what cartoon would they?
With the hat, Lidsville, of course.
Was that on the '80s?
No, it was the '70s. But come on, it was a kid's show about hats.
Yes, yes.
Better than that.
But he asked about the '80s. That's why I'm not very good at answering this question.
This question is very, very arbitrary and specific, and I don't inaccurate. I feel.
Inaccurate.
I don't know that I would say the hat is an interdimensional gateway.
Muppet Babies?
We make our dreams come true.
They were Saturday morning, right?
Yes.
And that was the '80s.
I wonder how that holds up, because I loved Muppet Babies like a person. I loved Muppet Babies.
You did, huh?
Basically, I wanted my life to be Muppet Babies.
Maybe that's why the hat has chosen us, because
I love Muppet Babies. So
because
much.
You love Muppet Babies.
I'm pretty
babies.
Sure I had some stuffed Muppet Babies. I loved Muppet Babies that much. Muppet Babies was awesome.
Muppet Babies is the answer to this question.
Okay.
Okay.
Where the hell did Skeeter come from?
I don't know.
They Robot Chicken once did a bit about that basically Skeeter was like, I know what you did last summer. Like, as a kid, they accidentally killed her, and so they all made a pact not to talk about it. And then, like, years later, somebody was murdering them and saying, I know what you did. And I forget who ended up being the murderer. Yeah, they accidentally drowned her in a pool, so, like, okay, we can't ever talk about this. Muppet Babies making their little pact. Yeah, Muppet Babies. I feel like I should remember other shows at that era. Yeah, I remember some 70s ones of Thundar. I was a big fan of Thundar. And then I think the 80s analog to Thundar was Galtar and the Golden Lance. I was way into that show.
That was a good show. Oh, wasn't it? No, that was an after school one, too. I was going to say He-Man and Masters of the Universe, but that was after school.
Yeah, that was after school. And She-Ra. Stuff here. Yeah, see, very weirdly specific and arbitrary question, Dave. What is wrong with you? But the answer is Muppet Babies.
The answer is Muppet Babies.
It's like the old Johnny Carson bit. Hold up the envelope to Muppet Babies. That's what we should start doing. We should draw them out of the hat and hold them up.
Hold it up there.
Do the great Karnak.
Yeah.
The answer is...
Muppet Babies.
5 tennis shoes and a length of twine. This is from Beth. It has been abridged. Dear TMTH, Timothy, William's birthday is supposedly President's Day 2015. Discuss favorite and least favorite presidents. So to reiterate, the answer to this is... 5 tennis shoes and a length of twine.
She's absolutely correct.
It was my favorite.
It did happen to fall on President's Day this year, which it often does. I suppose.
Sometimes mine falls on Martin Luther King Day. That's not his actual birthday, but sometimes it falls. Well, basically, it falls on President's Day every time your birthday falls on a Monday, I'm guessing.
I think that's almost, yeah.
That's how it is with Martin Luther King.
Yeah, that's probably true.
All right, presidents.
Favorite?
Favorite and least. Well, this is weird, because I have only lived through presidents since Carter. And to be honest, I don't remember when Carter was. I mean, I remember the years. I don't have memories of the presidency during the years when Carter was president. So the first president I remember is Reagan. Mm-hmm. And I didn't like him at the time because my parents didn't like him. My parents very strongly did not like him. Mm-hmm. And therefore I did not like him. Mm-hmm. My parents, I believe, viewed George H.W. Bush as essentially just, you know, the toady to Reagan. So they didn't like him either, and I did not like him. Mm-hmm. Was Clinton next? Did it go one term of Bush and then Clinton? Clinton, I liked. And that was finally at the age where I could kind of decide. I'm not even entirely sure how my parents felt. But I liked Clinton. At the time, I have different views on it now to some degree. But at the time, all the scandals associated with him seemed really silly to me. And they still seem kind of silly. But, I mean, I have a different perspective and a more nuanced and complex perspective on it now. Did not like George W. Bush. George W. Bush single-handedly is responsible for me questioning a lot of things about myself.
Yourself?
Issues involving hatred towards people and bad thoughts towards people and wishing bad things upon people.
Really?
Yes. He would make me so angry. That there were a lot of things. And I quite famously said that there was a list of about 3 or 4 people in existence that I would not, that if I had to vote for George W. Bush or them, I would vote for George W. Bush. And not on that list at the time, I remember being a big point, was Saddam Hussein was not on that list. I would rather vote for Saddam Hussein at the time. I believe, and of course the punchline, I believe, is I'd rather vote for SARS for president than George W. Bush. No, I had a lot of issues with there. And like most people, I was kind of into Obama, and now I'm kind of like, whatever. Yeah, so I don't have a lot. I feel like current presidents are the living presidents aren't that interesting, really. Historically,
mm-hmm.
I've always been a big Thomas Jefferson guy.
Really?
Yeah, very big into Thomas Jefferson. Of the sort of founding father ones, I think he was a big one for me. Kind of into Adams and Adams Jr., but never really into George Washington. Fascinated by Theodore Roosevelt. I don't think I like Theodore Roosevelt, but he's very interesting.
Yep.
Hate Nixon, even though it had nothing to do with me, because within a pretty broad period of time, if you were born within a certain range, you're just raised to hate Nixon. And you and I think both fall into that age range.
Yeah.
Whether
that's fair or not.
Yeah,
really.
Yeah, no, yeah. Yeah, I mean, I don't know beyond that. Like, I know presidents and the things they've done and some of the stupid things that a lot of them have done. You know, Trail of Tears, bullshit. Still mad. The FDR is very complicated because FDR did some of the coolest and stupidest things ever.
Mm-hmm.
Executive Order 9066 that created the Japanese-American internment camps.
Yep, shameful.
But then, you know, there's a lot of great stuff out of the New Deal that I like, and stuff out of the New Deal I don't like, and you probably don't like. I am inherently a fiscal socialist, so for me it's kind of cool, but...
I don't have a favorite president. I don't like presidents, really. And I think...
Conceptually, or you just don't like... You haven't liked any president ever?
I could live with the concept of president as it seems to present itself in the Constitution when I read it. I mean, what I see as the executive's job and who the executive is supposed to represent and what the executive is supposed to do, I see something that, okay, yeah, I could get behind that. But the problem is, probably the biggest mistake that the states of our nation ever made, in my opinion,
was convincing the world that they didn't exist. No, wait, that's the devil.
Pushing our nation in the wrong direction was to set it up so that electors of the Electoral College were selected by popular vote. Because now people have this idea about the president, and with some justification, because this is kind of how it works now, that the president, I think Barack Obama even said this recently, the president is the only person in federal government who's elected by everybody. And of course he was saying that to justify his own accountability to everybody, yeah, and therefore his own signing executive orders and stuff like that.
Which is a great sentiment, but inaccurate.
It's very inaccurate, because the president, as much as people want to think about the president this way, the president actually isn't elected by popular vote. Yeah. Tradition mostly has the number of electors tied to that, so it's true enough that Barack Obama can make a statement like that. Barack Obama.
But there are times when it has not been true, and I'm not just talking about the 2000 clusterfuck.
Right.
There have been other times where the popular vote and the electoral vote were not the same.
And Barack Obama knows that. I mean, he's supposed to be an expert in constitutional law.
Hey.
But he says this, and nobody really calls him on it, even though it's technically not true.
We're
why?
Breaking it here. We're calling him right now.
Well,
Mr. President, you are wrong.
Excuse me. But the reason he can make that statement is because people do feel that way. They feel like, here's the person that we all voted for. And that's often been the justification. Barack Obama's not the only one. Presidents throughout the existence of presidents have used that idea to justify expanding executive powers and doing things that the president should not even really be doing.
Yeah.
There's no president, Abraham Lincoln suspended habeas corpus. I mean, he did all kinds of things during the Civil War that were not good. I'm not actually being critical of him. I'm just pointing this out. So I don't know. There's just no president that I look at and think, oh yeah, that was a great president. Now I do have a president that's my least favorite though.
Lay it on me.
Andrew Jackson.
That's a good choice.
Because
he's on my list near the bottom.
Indian removal.
Yep.
He pushed that through, and I mean, he just seemed like a really horrible person.
He was a fucking cowboy.
And
I mean it in the modern pejorative sense.
I mean,
some of our presidents were actual cowboys. That was not him.
It's not fair to make such judgments about somebody, but man, you just. Everything I've ever read about him, I mean, if the Indian removal stuff and his attitude toward Native Americans wasn't bad enough, there's just all kinds of other things. I mean, he just really typified the worst things about Southern politics, I thought. Mm. And so he is my least favorite. Now, someone could probably persuade me to think that there were a lot of other Southern presidents who were worse.
Well, there are some others that stand out particularly bad on corruption. I mean, Nixon's there, but also with Coolidge and a few others. And then there's ones that, you know, are of no significance.
Well, but a lot of presidents
that got
embroiled in corruption scandals, it was a lot of times it was because they weren't doing anything to control or have any. Their cabinet was running amok, really.
Yeah.
They weren't doing anything to, like, prevent that.
And I think some of us believe, and may or may not be right, that the ones who got caught are just the ones that were worst at hiding.
Yeah, right, right. One president who I think often really gets a raw deal is Herbert Hoover. Now, of course, he's an Iowan, so I'm probably naturally going to say that.
Yeah.
But, here's a guy who you know, when the Depression hit, and, you know, he was present at that time. There are a lot of experts who have said this, that if he'd been president, you know, a little earlier or a little later, he would probably be celebrated as one of the best. But yeah. This thing happened on his watch, which wasn't even really his fault. Most people say that he didn't respond quick enough. You know, he wanted the market to sort of self-adjust and all that stuff. Which there are a lot of people today who think that might have been a better idea, or something similar to it, rather than what FDR ended up doing. But yeah. I think Hoover gets way too much criticism. And a president who I wouldn't say is my favorite president, but who I do admire, but he's very controversial, is Jimmy Carter.
I was just about to say, and the same thing. I think I really like Jimmy Carter, and Jimmy Carter happened to be a president. I'm not sure he was good at being president, but he's done a lot of great things since then that I think are really good.
Well,
But it's hard to tell. He was also in a bad situation. I'm not sure anybody could have made that time period not suck.
But a lot of the things that he did, what he's often the simplest criticism of him is that, well, he did stuff. His foreign policy stuff was pretty impressive, but he just didn't do very well with domestic policy.
Yeah.
And that always bothers me because, again, to me, when it comes to domestic stuff, the president is really just the executive. And I mean, yeah, he has the power to veto or whatever, but if things are going bad at home, it's the fault of Congress,
yeah,
not the president. I mean, even...
Well, and in economic cycles, it's also often not the fault of the current Congress.
No, that's right. That's right. So
that's what I mean. Like, I think he walked into a mess.
Yeah, yeah.
And a lot of the domestic issue is economic.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm not sure how much he can be blamed for that, but...
Or what he could have done about it.
Yeah,
but,
yeah,
I mean,
yeah, yeah.
But I respect the guy a lot, and I like a lot of the things he said and done.
We in my household definitely voted for him in 80.
Yeah. Well, my folks didn't vote for a long time because...
they're Amish.
No, because...
they don't know how to read.
Dad would vote Republican and Mom would vote Democrat.
So they just canceled that. I think you talked about that.
So they just didn't even go.
No, my parents agreed on everything and everything, everything, everything on the ballot until physician-assisted suicide.
Well, you know, the interesting thing about that with my folks is it didn't used to matter. Like, right? You know
yep.
Dad was a Republican, Mom was a Democrat, and so they wouldn't bother going to vote because they were going to cancel out. And that was it. There was no big arguments at the dinner table. And, I mean, it was... Nobody thought it was weird that these two people were married.
Yeah.
It didn't matter, you know? And now it does. Now it's a...
Sometimes it does. It matters...
It's a huge deal.
What that means to you when you say you're a Republican or you're a Democrat varies immensely. And there are people... I still know of marriages that are mixed in that sense. And, of course, there are some famous ones. But... I think what that means to you. For some people, they've picked a political party for a specific issue.
Yeah.
And if their spouse isn't opposed to them on that issue, but has other issues that have them a different political party, they're fine with it. And for a long time, you could get by as long as your issues were, you know, fiscal policy issues. You could agree to disagree. Nowadays, that's not true either, because, like, you know, If you're in favor of taxes, you hate our freedom, or, you know, whatever else. So it's all gotten conflated.
Yeah,
and that's the
yeah.
thing at this point. It's the two political parties are considered two beliefs, like singular beliefs. So if you belong to that party, you believe everything attached to it, which is such a patchwork of insanity that that makes no sense.
Yeah. So your parents finally disagreed on...
Position assisted suicide.
Really?
I believe it's the first thing ever.
What were the positions there for your folks?
My father was in favor of it. My mother was opposed to it. Primarily because my mother is of the opinion that if you really want to die, you can will yourself to die.
Really?
She's had a fair bit of experience with it. She worked in geriatrics.
Hmm.
my father did not. Well, and beyond that, she's like, so if you can't do that, then it's not real, you know, like, you don't want to make a rash decision on that or whatever. And my dad always just thought, no, I can think of situations where I would want to be able to be killed, and I might not be able to do it myself. And I feel like I'm on my dad's side on that, but it is one of those tricky issues.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's the first thing I ever knew of. I can't remember. I remember it being a big deal, but I don't remember what it was now. The first thing that I disagreed with them on. The first time that I'm like, no, I think it was some sort of ballot measure or something. I'm like, nope. I don't remember, but it couldn't have been that big, because I don't remember what it was now.
Well, I think Republican and Democrat, for my folks, at least my recollection, I mean, you're saying now it's like a belief system, and the belief systems are so convoluted and diametrically opposed. I think they saw it as almost like a belief system, but it was more like a, oh, you're a Baptist? Well, I'm a Methodist, you know. I mean, what's the big deal?
We still have basic tenets.
They're the same.
And our goal is still the same.
Yeah. The ways we differ are not trivial, but they're not, you know, they're not going to get in between us.
You're not... To somebody being a different denomination of Christian is not to say they're supporting Satan.
Yeah, exactly.
Whereas nowadays, to be of a different political party means you're supporting Satan.
Yep.
In a very literal sense. That the metaphor fell apart there, because there are people who genuinely believe if you belong to a different political party, you're supporting Satan.
Yeah.
We're at time, and we should stop.
Okay.
Because of that. But you should go to the blog, themagicaltalkinghead.com, and tell us if you support Satan. And also if you dream about jumping. And that's it. Don't tell us anything else.
Just those things.
All right. And then hopefully those other guys will be back next time, because I ain't doing this 2 weeks in a row.
Yet another mystery solved by the hosts of the Magical Talking Hat. Do you have a question that begs to be answered? Then please write the hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. That's themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Also, visit the hat at themagicaltalkinghat.com. The music for this episode was provided by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com.